And that was enough of Kenny Wayne Shepherd and Blue on Black. We're back here on Kitchen's Corner on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice. This is your RMU home for NFL debate and analysis. I'm your host, Dan Kitchen. Sitting across from me is Joe Peterson, as always. Sitting in the middle, making his return to the airwaves, is Bill Scott. And we just talked about a bunch of on-field quarterback play from first and second years, guys. Let's look at a quarterback who wasn't able to finish his game that he played, and that was Tony Romo. And Romo was knocked out. The prognosis is an 8-week absence from football for him. And this is a Dallas team that already lost star wide receiver Dez Bryant, which was a tremendous blow to their offense. So now they are out with their top quarterback and their top receiver. Can they survive, or at least man the fort without both of those players until they're both back on the field? Bill, you're shaking your head. I want to see you go first.
No, they have a tough time manning the field when they're all healthy, right? And I'm not trying to hate on them too much, but I don't think there's any way that without Dez is your hothead. You know, you need Dez on the field. That's the guy that gets your team fired up. That's the guy that reminds the Cowboys that they're supposed to be America's team, right? That's the guy that gets the Cowboys angry that they continue to fail. That's the guy that always strives to do better, that always demands his teammates do better, right? He'll yell at anybody over anything. He'll get mad at himself. He'll get mad at the coaches. Like, you need Dez on the field. You saw how fired up. I hope you saw the clip of Dez running out onto the, out of the locker room after the win in week one. Yeah. He's pumped up. That's the kind of guy that you want playing for you, and that's the kind of guy the Cowboys really, really need. They need that energy because they do have ups and downs. And when you're going through ups and downs, you need someone to look to and say, Dez is going to get us through this. He might not be the deep threat of Calvin Johnson. He might not have quite the speed of Antonio Brown. But in his own right, Dez can make a case for being the best receiver in the league. And when you have that kind of guy off the field, that hurts. And then on top of that, you take away your quarterback, who's been, quarterback for the last, 7 years for the Cowboys. That really hurts. And I was just telling my dad last week that I thought this was going to be the year the Cowboys aren't a fluke and they're for real. And I
you
really
said that last year too, though, before you left.
Did I say that they were going to make the Super Bowl or anything? I thought I said they would have a good playoff run, but
you
I didn't think they'd make it. But
said it was either them or the Seattle Seahawks in the Super Bowl.
Right.
So yeah, so you got it.
Right, but I didn't. Yeah. I would have made the bet this year that Seattle was going to be a Super Bowl team. I would have taken your money on that one, Dan, and beat you. So, but I no longer will say that about Dallas because I think Romo is just such a crucial piece. As much as he has ups and downs, but the guy that has phenomenal stats. I mean, he gets ripped way more than he deserves, and he gets a lot of unfair blame for the Cowboys and their ups and downs as well. So I don't think they can survive this.
Yeah, I'm going to take a look and focus on Romo and, what he has with the connection with Dez Bryant and just, it's a relationship on that team that everybody wants to watch on Monday night, Sunday night football when, it's Eagles and the Cowboys, two division rivals, and you got Romo and Dez and DeMarco Murray playing for the Eagles and you're really fired up and then out of nowhere these guys are off the field. And right now, if I'm looking at this Cowboys team and I'm looking at this Cowboys offense, I don't know if Brandon Weeden is going to be able to do the same thing that, Romo has been able to do, and without Dez now, you're in question of are they even going to have an offense? Now you have Terrence Williams as your one man, Cole Beasley and Jason Witten. It gets a little scary looking on the offensive side. And We can't forget either that the Dallas Cowboys also lost Terrell Maclin for the entire season. They're starting a defensive lineman out with a toe injury, and he's going to have surgery, and he has already declared out for season. So another injury affecting the Cowboys as well. My future brother-in-law is going to hate me, but I don't see much hope for the Dallas Cowboys this season if they're going to be on this continuing injury streak. It's just, it's going to be something that's really going to weigh heavy on them in their division. And, the Giants opening up looking good for the first two games of the season. The Eagles trying to figure out what to do with, their offense and moving the ball. And Cowboys still sneaking out 2-0, but I think that this starts to go downhill quick if they can't find some way to bounce back from these bad injuries. So, it's looking really shaky over there, Dan. I don't know.
And you guys said a lot of what I was going to say to echo your feelings, so I'm just going to go ahead and run down the 8 weeks that Romo will miss. One of them is a bye. But the Falcons, 2-0.
Yep.
The Saints, that should be a winnable game.
Yes.
Even if they have a backup in. The Patriots, not a chance.
No way.
The Giants, Odell Beckham Jr. will dance all over the Cowboys secondary.
Yes, he will.
The Seahawks, if they have their game back on track, Bill doesn't think they will, I do, that's not going to happen. The Eagles, that's another big if they have their game back on track. But
well, the Eagles don't have their game on track either. So
let's hope they can both move it along and see if we can get a better matchup.
That's a wild card, depending on which of these two teams can recover from disappointment.
That game is also in Philadelphia.
Yes, it
is. So that'll be a very big challenge for this offense.
Let me just pose a question to both of you guys, since we're talking about the Cowboys and the Eagles and their second matchup. What do you think about that game? Because I've already said, I think the Eagles are off to like probably the worst start as far as just absolutely blowing expectations. I don't think the Eagles will be, and maybe they'll be a playoff team because the NFC is kind of weak, but they really have no chance to compete with any high caliber teams. They'd get trounced by the Steelers. They'd get trounced by the Patriots. They'd get trounced by Green Bay. If Seattle gets Cam Chancellor back, they're going to get annihilated. They would have got annihilated by the Cowboys had Romo and Dez been at 100%,
had
Witten not got hurt. You know what I mean? If you're facing the full-fledged Cowboys team, Eagles would have got annihilated. So what do you think the outcome of that game is going to be? Because I look at the Eagles, I don't think the Eagles are going to get back on track. I don't see them having any big playmakers on that team at all. They have a few kind of good athletes, but in an offense that they run, if you don't have elite athletes like Kelly's used to at Oregon, you know, just a little bit. If you go from 100% to 90%, that could take your whole game. I mean, this is a team that functions on split seconds, right? And so if you're down just a quarter of a second, all of a sudden that pass might not work and that play might not work and your cut might not be there. And I think they're going to find out the hard way this year that if you're not on top of your game, this offense is really going to struggle.
Yeah, and I look at that and I say to myself, I see the Eagles having more success than the Cowboys. And the reason I believe that is because I think all of the pieces are in play for the Eagles. They're set up to do something. Sam Bradford is a good quarterback. They have DeMarco Murray, who they've got to figure out. Zach Ertz is a reliable tight end. And Jordan Matthews has been their number one receiver. So the pieces are in place.
Okay,
they just need to figure something out offensively.
So let's ask this question then.
We've jumped
right in. Into the Eagles, let's ask this question then. What's the problem with this team? Everyone thought the renovation was going to be a mad science experiment done correctly, and the Eagles were going to be a force. So what's wrong? Why are they 0-2? What is the problem in Philly?
They're 0-2 because of their receiving core. I'm going to say that right now, and I believe this to be true. I don't think the receiving core is where they want it to be with Sam Bradford. He has good looks. A lot of people had a lot of hype with DeMarco Murray, and DeMarco Murray is going to be a force on the ground. But, you know, as we show with the Cowboys defense, Sean Lee and the rest of those guys really stood him up. And the Eagles got to figure out a way to throw TDs consistently and, you know, have Murray in the backfield when they have to. If they're going to be a team that relies solely on DeMarco Murray, then I don't think they're going to get it to the point where they want that offense where they expect it to be. Sam Bradford only has two TDs on the year in the air, so he needs to start figuring out how to throw. The receivers are good. Sam Bradford now has to take that and start throwing touchdowns. He can't just keep hitting receivers and having these three and out, three and out, three and out, three and out. He has to somehow figure out how to drive the football, chew up the clock with Murray, and then execute with those touchdown passes. He needs to hit them for TDs.
I disagree, and Dan, if you want me to, I'll take this one here. I totally disagree with the Eagles and their receiving core. I think in this offense that Chip Kelly runs, if the guy can catch, he'll have plenty of opportunities. So I don't think it's these receivers. They're fine. You just need average receivers in this group. I think there's three things that just destroy the Eagles' chances to be a competitive team this year. The first one is Brian Kelly's ego. The second one is trading LeSean McCoy. And the third, which has to do a lot with the first one. And then the third one is bringing in Sam Bradford into this offensive system, which also has to do with the first one. So in looking at Brian Kelly's attitude,
Brian Kelly coaches the Fighting Irish.
Right.
Yes.
All right.
I was going to say, we're not Notre Dame fans at the moment.
So with Chip Kelly, he's been rumored to have a lot of locker room issues because he wants to be the voice. He doesn't want, like, you know, he wants to be in the locker room. He wants to control it. He wants this whole thing to be his show. And so LeSean McCoy, who is said to be the vocal locker room leader that the Eagles had, who was a staple for the Eagles team, who really put up great numbers in the Eagles uniform, they traded him off because they probably knew they could get DeMarco Murray, so you're getting about equal talent. I think they're a little different because I think Shady McCoy fit the system way better. especially like vision wise, that guy's unbelievable. And like I said, you ruin lock when you take apart the locker room, and when you get rid of a guy that's been a staple, people start to question things. You know, who's safe? Who's going to go? Who's going to stay? Am I going to get the same amount of playing time? You know, what's going to happen? So you start to wreck that, and that's Seattle's so good because Seattle brings all their guys are, you know, it's one brotherhood in the locker room at Seattle. That's one of the reasons why when they're all there, Cam Chancellor, they're really a well-oiled machine, and you don't get that with the Eagles because. You know, Chip Kelly's sending guys off left and right, and doing that to Shady McCoy, the face of your team at that point, was huge. And then you bring in Sam Bradford. He can't run, right? Like he has broken knees. But he's a drop back quarterback to start with. Now,
a tough offseason for them to be able to pick up a quarterback.
Here's the thing,
though,
I really liked Sam Bradford coming out of college. I thought he would have I still think he will have a good career. I thought he would have a great career before.
With the Rams, just too badly injured.
Yeah, because of injuries and because of the trades, I don't know if he'll ever really get back to where he could have been. But I think Sam Bradford has phenomenal potential as a drop-back quarterback. The guy's a stud. But when you're running this team, you need someone who's a playmaker. You want someone who has like flashes of brilliance and gets the crowd going and really can run a little bit. You just don't get that with Sam Bradford. It's not that Sam Bradford's doing anything wrong. It's just that in this kind of offense, you want someone that goes above and beyond. So this would have been an offense I would have liked to have seen him trade for Mariota. This is one that I think Mariota could have had lasting success in, at least for a few. I don't know if any quarterback can play in the system for multiple years, but you know, maybe for like 3-4 years, I think Mariota could have found a lot of success.
Now I'm still on this because you know I like what Bill said, but I really do see this as a problem between Sam Bradford and his receivers. And I have this pulled up right here as the Washington Post and why Philadelphia is struggling. And this is Sam Bradford's words right now. I'm not finding my receivers' routes. They're changing up on me in the spur of the moment. And we see ourselves going 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out. Statistically now this season, Sam Bradford has 2 touchdown passes in 2 games and 4 interceptions. Now, that miscommunication is something that is holding back an offense, that is prohibiting them from scoring points. DeMarco Murray on the field with 11 rushing yards on 21 carries, that's an 88-yard season if he keeps that up. I mean, you cannot have these miscues, and that's where the offense is struggling. Sam Bradford is throwing more interceptions because he hasn't had that touch with his receivers yet, and this is an early season. So, you know, 2 games, is it you know, a lot to say that Sam Bradford is ruining the team or he's, you know, not playing his full potential? No, because it's like you said, it could be these locker room issues where all of a sudden he comes in, he's expecting this guy to go one way, he's, you know, not having the right look in his head, he sees a different route, or you know, and that's a lot on him. And he's playing division rival Cowboys in AT&T Stadium. That's a lot on him as well. And you know, the return of Murray coming into AT&T Stadium, and the Cowboys shut him down. Let's be totally honest now, and address that white elephant. I mean, Sean Lee was tearing him apart all night long, and it was a great defensive battle up front.
That's what happens when you go up against an athletic defense and you have mediocre athleticism on your high-speed offense.
Too many mistakes being made mentally.
But again, I think that quote by Sam Bradford from the Washington – could you read that again to me?
Yeah, the Washington Post, when he says, "I'm not finding my receivers down the field. They're making moves and running different routes and just going along this saying, and we're going 3 and out, 3 and out, 3 and out.
To me, that rings on a few points that I think I made. Is one, he's not finding his receivers down the field because they're not going there. Sam Bradford is a deep ball thrower. He's a pocket passer. He takes his time. He selects what receiver he's going to go to, and he hits it on the mark every time. That's Sam Bradford. You don't get that when you have to roll out and you have to go for 7 yards, and you can't throw the deep guy's a decoy, and he doesn't even know if he's running the right route. You know, so I think a lot of that, it comes down to the fact that Sam Bradford is not meant for this system. It's not how he thinks as a quarterback. He can't think in this system. He, you know, grew up playing one way. He likes playing one way. He's successful one way. When you're a quarterback who can have major success and has all the things you would want in a quarterback, and your coach tells you, hey, instead of doing what you like to do, let's make you do this, and then you don't have success at it. Because, you know, like, I don't think they have the best team out there for him. Like you said, they might not have the best receivers. But Sam Bradford's saying, hey, I'm playing a different way than I like, and I'm not doing well, and it's tough for me to learn. So to me, it's a bad fit. It's not that Sam Bradford is bad, because I don't think that's true, and it's not that Sam Bradford's, you know, doing so bad. It's just he's not going above and beyond. He doesn't fit that system.
And I was happy to let you guys go, because there's not a single thing you guys said that was wrong. The receivers and Sam Bradford aren't communicating. Sam Chip Kelly essentially went out this offseason like he was a hungry kid going grocery shopping. If he saw something he thought he might want to eat, he got it, yeah. He stashed it, and then when he got home, he had a package of cake frosting, some steaks, a pallet of cheese, and he just didn't know how to fit it all together into something, so he just mashed it up and hoped for the best.
It's going to be an ugly lunchbox when he goes to school.
Exactly.
Yeah. Sam's not going to be happy.
Sam Bradford is two touchdowns, four interceptions. That alone is his death knell. He's not communicating with his receivers. His receivers aren't communicating with him, so even though Jordan Matthews looks great on paper, on the field he's not going to do much. He's just getting most of the targets because the Eagles throw. They signed DeMarco Murray to be the biggest signing of free agency this year.
Oh, yeah.
And I'm pretty sure you could sign 99 of 100 guys off the free agent market who haven't played in a year. Get Ben Tate out there. He's going to gain more than 11 yards on 21 carries.
Yeah, it's a scary stat.
I'll go on record saying this, too. This is the fall of DeMarco Murray. I said it when he was traded, and I'll say it now, especially because
this is going to really kill his
career. Yeah, he's done. I don't think we will see the DeMarco Murray from last year will make no return. No. Whether or not he decides to go to another team, gets traded to another team, or whether the Eagles decide to use him, DeMarco Murray, his career, I think, is finished.
And I think he'll be a number two back. He had some of the best offensive line work with the Dallas Cowboys by far. Yep. Romo, great pass protection. So that worked in sync, but, you know, different team.
Yeah, Murray went from a team where the offense was built around his style of running and a great offensive line to a team with a history of offensive line problems who's running a scheme that he is not meant for.
Right.
And then to top it all off, you spend a lot of money to bring in Ryan Matthews, a guy who everyone knew wasn't going to play. Nope. Matthews has four carries for 4 yards.
Yep.
Darren Sproles is currently leading the team and has four times as many rushing yards as anyone else on this offense.
And receiving. Darren Sproles is second in receiving yards.
Darren Sproles is a great fit for the Eagles team, and that's what they should have been looking for. They should have doubled down, up Darren Sproles' salary, and brought in a much less expensive running back than DeMarco Murray to be Darren Sproles' backup.
Yeah,
you would see the Eagles having a lot more success. There's very few guys in this league that can find lasting success in multiple scenarios and multiple team schemes. And DeMarco Murray's great, don't get me wrong, but when it comes to changing, he went from, like you said, Dan, a Cowboys team that was very much differently set up than this Eagles team he's now on. It's really, really hard for guys to find transitions if they have to go from one polar to another.
180 degrees away.
Totally. Yeah.
Exactly. So
he can't do it.
The way I see it, there's only two options for Philly. Well, three. One is you sit around and you keep losing and you enjoy getting one of the top overall picks next year. The two options if you want to try to fix your season is either blow up your offense or blow up your game plan. Because the game plan you have now doesn't click with a traditional style quarterback in Bradford and a traditional running back in DeMarco Murray. You need to change your game plan if you want to stick with those guys.
Yeah.
If not, the Eagles need to suck it up and lose this season or find replacements for Bradford and Murray quick, because you need a guy. If Chip Kelly's going to run his offense the way he wants to, I don't know why he brought in these guys. It was an error of immense financial proportions for this team because Bradford and Murray are not fits. They're not even close to fits.
Yeah. So here's a scenario that I'm going to throw out there, and Dan, me, and you have talked about this.
All right.
So I'm going to let Joe go first, and then I'd like you to pitch in your thought.
All right, sure.
What's the chance, possibility, or the advantage to trading for RG3?
For RG3, now, I know there's been a lot of talk about him with his quarterback scenario, and I finally think that the Redskins got a good system going with Kirk Cousins. He's been playing great, but you see him on the bench, and you can't help but wonder, what are they going to do about RG3? It's a great question to propose, but for the Eagles offense, to see him in the Eagles uniform, I don't know if it's going to be the fit that they want. He's extremely, extremely injury prone. He's playing against some great defensive fronts. If he has to scramble, you just never know. I think the Dallas Cowboys defensive ends will be too much for him, in all honesty, and I think that the Giants up front men can hold on to him and keep him in the pocket where he's really not that great in terms of Sam Bradford being in the pocket and delivering the ball downfield if he can. You know, it's a different beast, but you know they do want that kind of a, if they have that scenario where they have Sproles and they also have RG3 with a quicker offense, and that's where they want to score their points, then that's what they're going to have to do. They can roll out with RG3, they can find Jordan Matthews deep, but right now it's going to be about the cap space, and I don't think it's there, not for RG3. It's going to be tough, and it would be a good scenario to see to have RG3 come in and come into the Lincoln play, but I don't think it's what they should pursue, in my opinion, to be able to to consistently win in this division. I just don't see the longevity of RG3.
And I disagree. I think it would be giving the Eagles fans false hope. Because
well, there you go. It's exactly what it is.
There is no way that the Eagles are going to move on from DeMarco Murray and Sam Bradford right now. It's what they should do if Chip Kelly refuses to abandon his game plan, but they won't because no team gives up a franchise running back and a guy you've claimed your franchise quarterback is after 2 weeks. But if the Eagles were, then I think RG3 would be a much better quarterback than Sam Bradford. I think he's a scheme fit, and I think he wins games for the Eagles. The Eagles will look like a playoff team if RG3 is their starting quarterback and Darren Sproles is their starting running back with another guy helping him out. But like Joe said, he's injury prone. The Eagles' offensive line is not good, and if RG3 starts, he's going to get wins until he gets injured, and it will be a when, not if he gets injured. You're back to Bradford.
Here's the big problem I always had with that, and I'll go back to like the only bet I've ever won in my life was against my brother going into the draft. Adrian Peterson was labeled as injury prone, and I watched like one highlight video before the draft. Just listen. And I told my brother, I said, Adrian Peterson will go down as the best back to ever play football. And now I don't know if he's there. Hang on.
Emmitt Smith and Barry Sanders.
Right. Okay. But in the modern era, there's no running back better. Right, there have been guys that put up one or two good years. There's been nobody better
in the last decade. Yes.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
And remember, Adrian Peterson isn't playing with any stellar team. Sorry, Joe. The Vikings aren't.
Not helping him out. With
Adrian Peterson is putting the team on his back with eight guys in the box and going at it. So he's getting overused. Is he injury prone? Kinda.
Is he fumble prone? Absolutely.
Right. But is he on the field a large percentage longer than most of these other running backs? Yes. Sure. Right. You know, he might get injured, but he's a running back with a heavy workload who's getting hammered all the time with not much protection, and he's doing just fine. So my thing is with RG3. Okay, maybe he hurt his knee once or twice. Is he injury prone, or did he just have two really bad accidents? Remember, when you have his style of play, and when you're young and you're really trying to make something happen, you put yourself in bad positions. So is RG3 today just as injury prone? Is it a physical thing, or is it a mental? Because I've said before, I think injury prone is a mental thing. I think RG3 needs to come back and say, hey, I can't make some of those crazy plays I made in college. I realize that these guys are all fast. They're all strong. They're all going to hit me hard. So I do need to slide. I do need to be careful about how long I extend plays, right? And so from that mental aspect of it, if he gets hit, I don't think he's going to fall apart, right?
No.
I don't think he's injury prone in that sense that people look at him like
hope he does
people
not.
Look at him like he's brittle. It's not that he's brittle. It's that he puts himself in really dangerous situations because he's such an athletic phenomenon.
He does have a lot of athletic plays where you watch him make something out of nothing, and I
so
like
here's,
that.
Here's what I'm going to say about RG3. RG3, and it's a lot like what I said about DeMarco Murray. RG3 will never see the football field again if he doesn't decide to do something this season. There's no other team that's going to gamble on him. There's no other team that needs him. There's no other team that he would fit in, right? Like Joe touched on a little bit. Can he pass in the pocket? He showed brilliant pocket passing here and there.
Yeah.
But that's not who he is at heart. He wants to run. He wants to have fun. He wants to do these brilliant plays. That's RG3. He's a highlight reel. So
he is a highlight reel.
When I think about RG3, if I'm RG3, if you have to make a decision this year if you love football or if you love money. And if you like money, be fine staying where you're at, playing 0 minutes, and just collecting the paycheck. Because that's all he's going to do if he cares about the money. If he doesn't, do whatever you can to get out of that contract and tell Chip Kelly you'll walk on for next to nothing and you'll earn it. Because if he goes into the Eagles system, he'll beat out Sam Bradford. There's no doubt in my mind. And he'll have that team. The Eagles need excitement. They're just going to plummet if they don't. Excitement in an offense like this does more than skill ever could even come close to. So if RG3 says, hey, you know what? Money's not an option. I'll take the minimum. I'm coming in. I'm going to earn it. And I'm gonna show you guys that this Eagles offense will work under Chip Kelly. I think you'll have something.
And it's unlikely to happen, but
very unlikely. But
it's something that's interesting to speculate on because
absolutely,
if he loves football, that's his one shot.
Maybe
that
not
he
this
has
year,
left.
But next offseason.
Because
season,
right now, him sitting there, he's at the same level as Colt McCoy.
He's rusting.
Right there.
Come next
not many,
off,
not many people give him a chance. So.
Come next offseason, maybe the Eagles will throw a 1 year minimum contract his way after he's out of Washington.
Yeah,
but it's interesting to speculate on. We're going to go into another break. When we come back, we're going to be going into some of our more fun segments. We've touched on the harder stuff. We're going to be picking our best and worst players from the last week. bringing back an old segment and helping out your fantasy teams. Kitchen's Corner will be right back on RMU Radio, your campus, your voice.